My brothers and sisters in the Lord, I knew a woman who was deaf, but who could read lips and speak, although with considerable difficulty. And since she made such an effort to communicate, I made a similar effort to listen. Usually we could make ourselves understood. Perhaps you have had similar experiences. If you have, then you can relate, as I can, or in a kind of personal way, to this wonderful miracle by which the Lord opened the ears of a deaf man that he might hear and loosened his tongue that he might speak clearly. A miracle such as this one not only helped the one cured, but served to reveal Jesus as the Messiah sent by God, the Messiah who was the very Son of God. The prophet Isaiah, our first reading, said, "Here is your God. He comes with vindication, with divine recompense. He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag, and then the tongue of the mute will sing." Jews familiar with their scriptures would have recognized that Jesus fulfilled Isaiah's prophecy in curing the man of his deafness and inability to speak clearly, as he also restored sight to the blind and enabled the lame to walk on other occasions. It seems to me that many people today are deaf or at least hard of hearing with respect to Christ's gospel. Often they cannot articulate with any clarity who Jesus is or what the church believes about him. I was at a college reunion a couple years ago and saw a classmate in the refectory eating alone. So I went over and sat down with him. And as we talked, it became clear he was an absolute materialist. Nothing existed except that which could be observed and measured. When I spoke of the experience many people have of a spiritual dimension to reality, he argued that we were all deluded. We were living in a fantasy world to make ourselves feel better. I found myself speaking to a deaf person who simply could not hear me. Materialism, which denies the reality of the supernatural, and extreme individualism, which undermines the common good, secularism that proceeds on the assumption that God does not really exist and that religion has no place in the public square, these isms cause people to be deaf to the gospel. And the general ignorance of Christian teachings means that many people have only the vaguest idea who Jesus Christ is or what the church teaches about him, making them theologically mute. This should matter to us. These are men and women of our times, often our friends, neighbors, co-workers, and relatives. If we have any Christian love in us, we should want them to be open to Christ and to his saving message and grace. That would be for their benefit and a cause of joy for us. We should not buy into the thinking that, oh, I don't want to intrude on them. I don't want to invade their personal life, invade it for their good, right? We were not called to be Christians to stay inside the compound. We're meant to care about others and witness to them about the world's only Lord and Savior. So how might we break through the deafness? How might we be the Lord's agents in giving others clarity of speech? Well, first, as a little sign on my desk in my office says, have you prayed about it? Now, we celebrated the novena to St. Monica for Lost Souls at the end of August. If we follow her example of persevering prayer, we will surely win God's grace to open the ears and loosen the tongues of other human beings, just as her prayers opened the way to faith for her husband, Patricius, and her son, St. Augustine. So prayer first. Second, we will be with people at times who are suffering from a great disappointment or a loss. We are not ourselves immune to those experiences, right? If we truly are following Jesus Christ, we will have felt his compassion and love in those hard moments of our lives. So like the Lord took the deaf mute apart, take that person aside and, listening to his or her story, tell him yours. Explain how the Lord in his kindness helped you in your difficulty. Personal witness of this kind can open up a person to hear the gospel. A priest I knew who was an alcoholic in recovery spent hours in his office and on the phone listening to people concerned about an alcoholic family member or good friend. His own experience enabled him to relate to their situation and to offer useful advice. Third, I think there are times to shout Ephphatha, that is, be opened. When someone, especially in a public setting, says outrageously wrong things about our faith, we have to have the knowledge and the courage to speak up and say the truth. A man running for office patently misrepresented the Catholic Church's teaching on abortion in a debate. His opponent was able to correct him, and if the other politician did not change his view, at least some of those listening may have had their deafness pierced. You know, there was a tradition at medieval Catholic universities. We started universities. We're the origin of them. There was a tradition of public debates between Catholics and Jews. Oh, those benighted medieval people. No, they were willing to have debates about serious matters. It would certainly be a healthy development if universities today fostered debates on controversial subjects rather than trying to control speech so that no one's feelings get hurt. Okay. I was down in the southern part of the diocese last weekend and had a confirmation in the parish in St. Francis de Sales in Beckley. I met with the young people, high school students, I was going to confirm, and we talked about, they had an experience in their high school. They often get challenged about their Catholic faith. You know, why do you Catholics worship Mary? Why do you believe in purgatory? It's not scriptural. It's not scripture because in the Protestant Bible, they omitted the passages in the Old Testament that speak about, that undergird the belief in purgatory. You know, so you don't have it there. No wonder it's not in your scripture. Your Bible is not complete. All right. But I spoke with them and urged them to learn more about their faith so if they can articulate what we actually believe. And finally, there is the witness of charity. St. James, in our second reading, forcefully reminds us not to show partiality to the rich, but to care for the poor who are close to God's heart. Service to those in need and advocacy for them before the rich and the powerful are not the whole content of the gospel, which is essentially about our salvation from sin and death. Nonetheless, our soup kitchens and homeless shelters and parish pantries, support of immigrants, defense of the unborn, are works of love that flow from our faith. Some of the deaf who observe our good works may lose their deafness as they ponder why we engage in such activities which bring us no material benefit. We know it is God who inspires those good works in us, the same God who can open the ears of the deaf. Are you willing to work with Jesus to cure the deaf and mute that they may hear his message and profess their faith? He is the only Savior the world has. It is our duty to make him known. We cannot stand on the sidelines. We have to get in the game and play.